Our text for this morning is that Old Testament text, in particular, verses 10 through 15. The Lord said, I will surely return to you in about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening to the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah was old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. This then is our text. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's an old Janis Joplin song that I want to bring to you. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all have Porsches, and I must make amends. Work hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I see some of you out here nodding your head. You're old enough to have heard that song, maybe back in your youth. And it was a good one. Not quite as good as this, a dead skunk in the middle of the road, but it's close. Very close. I want you to now take a moment and set in with Abraham and Sarah, more than likely several years before the strangers came, because they were getting up there in years. I can just hear it now. They're sitting around a warm fire eating supper, and Sarah says, Abraham, you're supposed to be close to God. Why aren't we raising a child yet? A little more silence. Abraham, all our neighbors have children. More silence. Abraham, what do we have to do? More silence. Abraham, we're going to die without anyone to leave our treasures to. No one to leave our inheritance to. Well, brothers and sisters, life is full of obstacles. And I think as we go through our text this morning, you will find that some of the obstacles that Sarah and Abraham face are just a little bit like yours, or at least parallel to the obstacles that you face. You see, Janis Joplin faced obstacles too. And unfortunately, her life was cut short at a young age because, well, she had a drug overdose and passed away. An obstacle that she was unable to stand. Now, Sarah had some obstacles that were facing her that day. There were three strangers that showed up at the door, and my goodness gracious, Abraham was just falling all over himself, fawning upon these three men, and went out and asked for a young man to take the calf and prepare it to eat. Why, he even had the audacity to tell Sarah, now, make some bread. Make it up out of the fine flour. What was going on? As the three sat down with Abraham to eat, they began to visit. And one of them explained to Abraham that Sarah will have a child about this time next year. Abraham smiled because he remembered the promise God had given him many years before that his descendants would be in charge of many nations. That his sons and daughters would be, well, as numbered as the sands on the beach. So Abraham was smiling. He thought now that he might become the father of nations. Now Sarah was listening at the door of the tent, and I can see her with her ear inclined a little bit to the cloth. And she heard the three talking. And you can also understand that it wasn't her fault that she heard something that made her chuckle to herself. You probably have done the same thing. Somebody has said something outrageous and you go, yeah, right. But Sarah was about to receive the shock of her life. It was so outlandish that she couldn't help but laugh to herself. We are told in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews explains it this way, that by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, the writer of Hebrews sure put that all together and summarized what was going on. It wasn't Sarah herself who had the power to conceive, but it was a God working through her. By his power had her conceived. And even though she was past the age, I'm sure that she was the talk of town when everyone found that she was pregnant. The other thing that we learn from the writer of Hebrews is that she considered him faithful who had promised. Faithful. And who is that pronoun he? Who does it refer to? Well, of course, it refers to her husband, Abraham. He had made a promise to her that she would be the mother of nations. And she was getting just a little tired of waiting. But she did, at this point, consider him faithful, who had promised. Faithful to God. You remember, in our illustration, that Abraham probably had that great smile of satisfaction on his lips. But we hear Sarah's argument when she comes to talk to the three men. She says, I am worn out, and my Lord is old. How shall I have pleasure? This is outrageous. It's incomprehensible. There certainly is nothing that she has ever seen that would be anything like what these three strangers had promised. But Sarah gets an epiphany, doesn't she? For the strangers revealed themselves to her when they asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Can you imagine that you are listening to someone speak that knows your mind? Sarah didn't say those words out loud. They were all up here in her mind. And she was laughing to herself. How did they know? The epiphany was that God had revealed himself in these three men, that they had the power God had given them to bring the good news to Sarah. The stranger reassured Abraham by saying, at the appointed time, I will return to you. About this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. At the appointed time next year, I will return. Have we heard anything like that before? And I will rise again, and I shall return to take you home. For that is why I was sent. Those words came from Christ Himself. And the great thing about it is, even though Sarah was trying to justify herself by saying, I didn't laugh. And the stranger said, no, but you did. Brothers and sisters, how did the three strangers follow up on this? Is anything too hard for God? This morning, you as irreconcilable sinners will come forward to share in the Lord's table in His body and blood. Is anything too hard for God that He can say, you are forgiven? Your sins are no more. And as you sip the Lord's blood and take in His body, you can rest assured. Nothing is too hard for God. Brothers and sisters, we have an extraordinary experience that we go through every other week. And we have an extraordinary experience that happens every day in our lives as we kneel down and say, Lord, forgive me my sins this day and those sins of others who sinned against me. And God, even though you don't hear His physical voice, you can rest assured that you are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, come to the realization that as messed up as we are, nothing is too hard for God. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.